Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, Radio Family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord for all of you. I love you, pray for you every day, my Radio Family, my UCM partners. And I was just thinking, for those of you who have hung in here all week with me, I commend you because we have been in the woodshed. James has been dealing with us rather severely. And I was thinking, how would you have liked to have been a member of his church? James is the half-brother of Jesus and was pastor of the church in Jerusalem. And can you imagine his sermons? My goodness sakes. So if you've got a gentler pastor, praise God. Although, I mean, it's beautiful because he speaks truth. And sometimes the truth is very painful. We don't want to hear it. But I promised, as I brought yesterday's broadcast to a close, there was going to be good news. So we're going to go on and look at more verses in the fourth chapter, and we're going to read verses 7 through 10. Again, I'm reading the King James, and if I give more comment, it's because I've got other translations, this really cool Bible of 26 translations. Anyway, here we go. Not my normal preaching Bible for broadcast. He goes on, verse 7, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Range yourself, therefore, under God. Be subject, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your heart, ye sinners." He's not done calling us names. "Wash your hands, you sinners. Make your hands clean, you sinners. And purify your hearts, ye double-minded." Those that are, you know, halting between two opinions. Well, I really love God. However, they're enticed and drawn away by the attractions of the world. And he said, "Purify your hearts, and your hearts pure, you vacillating men. Put away deceit from your hearts, you false in mind. You who are double-minded, see that your motives are pure. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Be miserable and lament and weep. Weep over your disloyalty." What is he talking about? He had called us, now he's saying, sinners, we were adulterers and adulteresses because we've left our first love. And that was one of the charges Jesus had against the churches in the book of Revelation, Laodicea. You've lost your first love. We've rich and increased with goods, and we got all sorts of wonderful programs, and, you know, we just feel pretty good about ourselves. How does our conduct stand up and our motives by the Word of God? On a recent, what was it, yesterday, the day before, there was a quote I heard that I just absolutely love. If you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? What does the evidence say? That's the real heart of the matter. Okay, let's go on. He says, verse 9, "Be afflicted, mourn, and weep." He said, "Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Your gaiety into gloom, into humiliation and dejection. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." Okay, now, this is, I said, the good part. What he's doing here is giving us an answer for our dilemma. We want good relationships with others. We want people to understand us and to appreciate us and to understand all that we're doing in their behalf, how much we love them. And sometimes, especially when it comes to family members or even friends, it can be a very difficult proposition. However, God's way, rather than, you know, we can see so clearly what's going on with them, the wrongs, the things that aren't right in their lives, but God always takes us to task that we have to deal with ourselves first. Jesus says, "Take the beam out of your own eye that you can see clearly to take the mote out of your brother's." So what is James doing in these verses 7 through 10? He is basically telling us an act of repentance. And that's what's contained in these first six verses that we're looking at right here, from 7 to 10. He's saying we have to be honest and we have to confess not only to God, but also admit to ourselves. Step one is to humble yourself before the Lord. Step two is to resist the devil. Now, that word devil, in the Greek, it's a general term for evil. It basically means false accuser. So it's not just, you know, Lucifer. It's just any evil influence. And draw close to God. In other words, if we'll take that first step, it says Jesus will draw close to us. And then he says, wash your hands, purify your hearts. Step four, wash your hands. Step five, purify your hearts. We need to change our actions, right? Hands, and our motives, that's heart, and to grieve the consequences of your sin. This is all an act of repentance. Let me repeat that again. Step one, humble yourself before the Lord. Two, refuse the works of darkness that have caused you to err, caused you to sin. Say, no, I want to change. I don't want to be that way anymore, Lord. And we have to come against it with all diligence and say, I want to be different. And God, if we will do that, the enemy will flee from before us. We draw close to God. We learn to ask him to help you to love him more. And then step four is to wash your hands. Step five, purify your hearts. That change your actions, change your motives, and grieve the consequences of your sin, that you have displeased God, that you've hurt the heart of God, and perhaps you've also very likely hurt others. And sometimes there's a time where you need to say, you know, I'm sorry. And sometimes the holiday time might be a wonderful time to do this just quietly. And there can be such healing and such restoration in relationships. We have to be willing to humble ourselves, even though you were not in the wrong. Perhaps the other person was totally in error. Yet when we come with humility, a gentle answer turns away wrath, right? I mean, when someone is hostile and is angry towards you, you want to fight back, you want to retaliate, you want to meet kind with kind, right? That's the normal way of the world, and that's what Jesus is trying to help us be freed from, that kind of response or reaction. But to admit, you know, God's still working on me, and I'm sorry if I hurt you, I'm sorry if I've offended you, that was not what I wanted to do. And so basically, if we are willing to humble ourselves before God and before one another, as it's possible, as the Spirit of God leads, there are times that we can just repent before God. Perhaps that relationship, they may be separated from you by death or by miles, by distance, whatever, or circumstances, God knows, but that you're willing to do the right thing. And what do we see? Let's look at what Jesus said in Matthew, the 16th chapter, verse 24. Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. What does King James say? If you want to be my disciple, be willing to, you know, lay down your own life, deny yourself, give up your own way, basically. And that's because self-preservation is so strong in us, not only the life force, but the things we want. We want our own way. And when you ever get frustrated, when things don't work out your way, how do you respond? That's a pretty clear example of where we're all at. And we can all say, ouch, to that. Is that not right? And so we have to die to self. That is the ultimate aim of the Holy Spirit. And he's basically, in these six steps, he's talking about what basically Jesus says in terms of dying to self. But that marvelous promise in that step number seven, God will lift you up. That's what he says in verse 10. God will lift you up, praise God. He shall exalt you. If you are willing to be made low in the presence of the Lord, he will lift you up. He resists the proud, but give grace to the humble. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. And we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Praise God. It's God working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So what's the final thought I want to leave with you? Well, James, he's not compromising. He leaves no room for excuses or ways to stay on the fence. We must choose God's way or the way of the world. And my question to you, to myself, what do we need to do to surrender our lives to fully embrace God's way? Let's bring this broadcast to a close in prayer. Father, you see those who are anticipating times of being with loved ones, family, friends, that the relationships have been difficult. Father, I pray for your love. Love covers a multitude of sins. And Father, I pray for healing and restoration. Most of all, Lord, I pray for the grace that we can admit our errors, our sins, and are willing to humble ourselves, first of all, before you, and when appropriate and necessary, before one another. And Father, I pray for a healing of relationships. Those loved ones who are far off, sons, daughters, aunts, uncles, those nephews, nieces, bring them close. Bring them into salvation, Lord. Bring them into healing and reconciliation as we celebrate this traditional time of remembering the birth of Jesus Christ. You came when the angels announced peace on earth, goodwill toward man. That has not changed. That is your desire, Lord, peace on earth and good toward mankind. And as we follow the good news of the gospel, the things that are outlined in your word, Father, we will begin to get a foretaste only, Lord, which will be complete when you return to set up your kingdom on this earth. Father, we praise you and we bless you for it. Amen and amen. Well, I invite you to write, share. You may have specific needs. Allow me the privilege of praying for you. Until next week, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.